Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Everyone's asleep.
In the shadow of crime, resigned to be the victims of fear, of violence, of social impotence.
You step outside, you risk your life. You take a drink of water, you risk your life. And nowadays you breathe and you risk your life.
The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
That is why we distance ourselves. That's why we make jokes. We don't do it because it's fun. We do it so we can get by. And sometimes because it's fun.
Your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinny's jokes.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio for the benefit of the intelligence agencies listening. Now, they're not the only ones listening, of course. There's also the, how can I say this? How can I tell you what kind of people listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show? Well, other than government agents whose job it is, the people that I meet, often traumatized by the system that screwed them over, that won't listen to them, doesn't care about their concerns, they're unhappy with the status quo. They realize there's actually something wrong with it. They seem to be, on the whole, intelligent, often educated, usually very successful, until such a time as they woke up to how horrible the system is. And yesterday I asked for help because I was very hungry and there wasn't any food in the house. And I just asked for $30 just so I could go get some basics, you know, and I don't ask for help unless I don't have any choice. All right. And yesterday I didn't have a choice. I was just really, really hungry, bro. And asked my listeners for some money and they gave me a lot. You know, like a lot more than I asked for, which was good because it turns out that I needed that, you know. Last night I went out to a meeting with the health minister for the National Party, Jonathan Coleman, and there were a number of members from the vaxxed screenings who were there, people who saw Dr. Lance O'Sullivan give them a very bullying type of haka thing. And interestingly enough, it's anti-bullying week or something like that in New Zealand. But anyway, as a typical politician does, whenever you ask any questions of any kind, you just get freaking ignored. So what was it? There were a number of questions that got asked from the minister, and he dodged every single one of them, you know. In record time, like I've never seen anything quite like it. There were two questions about vaccines. They were the first two questions of the meeting. And then he just goes, no more questions about vaccines at all. At all. Not prepared to discuss it. It's like, whoa, I've never seen that before. And then he did something else I've never seen before. He was at the front of the room, right? And all the people from Vaxxed were in the front couple of rows. So he went to the middle of the room, like, I was just sitting there and I'm thinking, like, I respect my elders, right? And when you make your elders crane their neck to look at you on the side, so that it's more convenient for you to not have to look at the people who disagree with your scumbaggery stance on vaccination. I kind of think that's sort of scumbaggery, you know, just in a general kind of way. But maybe that's just my opinion. So after that, I asked him a question about fluoride, whether or not the fluoride that's going to be dumped into our water supply at the behest of the new legislation that's probably going to be ran through Parliament, it's going to take the ability to put fluoride in the water out of the elected councillors' hands, the city councillors, and into the largely unelected district health boards, who always follow the mandates of the Ministry of Health, which is currently controlled by Jonathan Coleman, right? Fluoridation by stealth. And, of course, dodged the question. The man couldn't answer a single question, even the normal questions from the dumb ass slave scum in the meeting who clapped when he beefed up the talk about vaccination and how great it is. They cheered when he talked about the great benefits of fluoride. Like, I didn't realize that the public saw these things as such a great achievement as to be worthy of, you know, a round of applause or a virtue standing ovation, right? In any context, I don't understand the rationale behind that, and that's because there isn't any rationale behind it. But I wonder as well what is happening in New Zealand in terms of this vaxxed movie that's come out and the public pressure that's mounting against it. So I managed to get a couple of articles for you here today. I had a guest cancellation, so in the last 10 minutes I had to plan a show. In the second hour, we've got Randy Moggins from Off Planet Radio. That's going to be good. This here from News Hub. News Hub, by the way, used to be TV3, and they're now owned by Oak Tree, which is a foreign multinational investment firm, which owns lots and lots and lots of different things. But let's just have a look at this one here. So, opinion: New Zealand needs screenings of vaxxed like a kick in the guts, by Helen Petosis Harris. Now, isn't it interesting that you've got somebody who's a virologist with a name like Petosis? You know, you can't make this shit up, bro. You just can't. Anyway. Dr. Helen Petosis Harris has a PhD in vaccinology. Ooh, he's got a PhD. What does the PhD in vaccinology stand for?
Well, I got brainwashed and repeated a lot of times, again and again and again, that vaccines are safe and effective in 10,000 words or less. And they gave me a medal.
Right. I'm a cruel man. Here's why she thinks anti-vaccine documentary Vaxxed should not be on New Zealand screens. Okay, first of all, first lie in the article. It's not an anti-vaccine documentary. In fact, I was kind of pissed when I was watching it because they were literally promoting the single vaccines, the single measles, the single mumps, the single rubella, because the MMR vaccine that has all of those three vaccines all combined into one was giving people measles, mumps, and rubella, and autism, and all sorts of other stuff. Right, so people don't actually know how many different side effects and reactions there are from vaccines, especially not doctors, because there's these things called vaccine insert sheets, which they never show the patients and the doctors never look at. All right, that's the kind of shit that we're dealing with here. Here's why she thinks anti-vaccine documentary Vax should not be on New Zealand screens. So she's advocating for censorship and the censoring of free speech and so on and so forth from the government. Now, this is not the brightest move, I think, you know, in terms of a public relations move, but there's bound to be plenty of retarded New Zealanders who believe everything the government and officials with opinion pieces. Notice,
it's an opinion piece. It's not a piece of journalism.
Republished with permission from Cyblogs, a site for New Zealand science bloggers, not New Zealand scientists who do actual
science,
like including reading the vaccine reaction sheet, for example, but for science bloggers who are essentially shills who tout the government line, even when there's absolutely no evidence to support any of its cases that it's ever brought forth to the public. Opinion. Dr. Lance O'Sullivan, I salute you. Now, the guy's just a dick, bro. All right? He's just crazy. Right? Getting in front of a, you know, I'm just going to read the article because I could go on this one article, the whole show. But I'm not going to. Kaitaia is a town in the far north of New Zealand. Warm people, lovely beaches, and it's also the murder capital of New Zealand and the suicide capital of New Zealand, but she doesn't know that or care. Sadly, immunization coverage is low. Infectious disease rates are high. Right. Doctors like Lance O'Sullivan work their guts out. He's such a hard worker. He has to put a needle in a baby. Oh, that must be a tough job. Oh, he must be fucking... To improve the health of the people they serve. They're not serving them and commanding over them like a frickin' lord, including treating kids for illnesses that they should never have to suffer. Yeah, because in Northland, they don't have a hell of a lot of economic opportunities, and when economic opportunities go down, you find that disease rates go up, because what happens when you don't have enough money to spend on nutritious food? You don't have a good immune system,
and you start suffering from diseases you wouldn't ordinarily get.
Man, this is pissing me off. The community needs screenings of the manipulative pro-disease film Vaxxed like a kick in the guts. I just love the inflammatory language here. And it's like Broadcasting Standards Authority would be all over this, but conveniently this wasn't broadcast. It's an article. Yeah, you can get away with it. At the local screening, Dr. Lance O'Sullivan got up and defended his community against the vaccination lobby with an open, honest message. His open, honest message was, I'm not going to watch the film. You're killing babies by being here. And then he started yelling at them and screaming at them and as a haka.
Fuck all you bugger!
Like, I wish I was making that part up and doing an overtly, you know, overblown impression, but I'm actually underselling it. The guy was just freaking nuts. I'd never seen anybody do anything that crazy before. But anyway, the film in question has as much scientific fact in it as a B-grade zombie film. And bear in mind, there's a woman who hasn't fucking seen it.
You are a lying scumbag, bitch!
And, allegedly. Yet it's so manipulative it manages to persuade people that its insidious messages are somehow true. Now, where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah, isn't that the line the government used? What, is she jealous that it's using her tactics or something like that? Let me tell you what gaslighting is. And when you're a liar, this is pretty easy. So what you do is, if you're wrong and a scumbag, what you do is you lie and you basically accuse the other person of doing everything you're doing. Okay, so she's manipulative and repeating it and ridiculous and there's no science and it somehow convinces people that vaccines are safe. Sounds like the truth, doesn't it? That's what it is. I'm not going to write a film review because many others have done so already and you didn't see the film because you can't write a film review
on a film you haven't seen.
But in short, there is no scientific debate about a relationship between the MMR, measles, mumps and rubella vaccine, or any other vaccine in autism. And she's right, there is no debate, because the vaccine manufacturers never want to debate it. This has been extensively investigated and put to bed years ago. And does she link to any evidence of any kind showing that? No? Nothing whatsoever. MMR vaccines have a long-standing, excellent safety profile, unlike what they show you on the vaccine sheet, which is in every single packet, that says that it causes frickin' personality disorders, radical changes, death, brain swelling, shit like that.
Oh, it's got such a long-standing, excellent safety profile.
The film focuses on the claim that the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, hid evidence in one of its studies evaluating the study of the MMR vaccine. No, it didn't allege, it proved that they did that, and it didn't prove that they hid the evidence, it proved that they fucking destroyed the evidence. They literally incinerated all the paperwork and shredded it. All right? This, every single line that this person is putting into this opinion piece is a fucking big lie. I'm just going to say that from the outset, and I want to go through and just expose each and every one of them, because this is freaking important, okay? Children are dying. Parents are having their lives destroyed by these vaccines and pieces of shit like this, and I am going to say that freaking right out. Pieces of shit like this don't care and only want to collect their paycheck. They don't care that it's killing your children. They don't care that it's destroying your lives. They don't care about anything but profits. It's like a psychopath. Like the myth that MMR causes autism, which the vaccine courts have compensated many autistic children for a number of times, even though there's no link between vaccines and autism. How did that happen? This conspiracy theory, oh, see, here we go with a nice little lingo there, just basically tar everybody with a brush, right? You believe that MMR vaccine causes autism? Oh, you must think reptilians control the government, blah, 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 blah. You know, the kind of thing. It's just casting aspersions and using it to divide people. It's a very disgusting tactic. We talked about this last night at the meeting. This conspiracy theory has also been well and truly debunked. And of course, does she provide any fucking evidence about any debunkation? Nope. If MMR did cause autism, then one of the large, carefully conducted international diverse studies, which she apparently can't name or point out or have any evidence for, would have at least found a hint of a link, a whiff, a vestige. Oh, really? Would it have? And how many vax versus unvax studies have there been, cunt? Zero? Oh! Then how the fuck would you know? It must also be highlighted for the millionth time that Andrew Wakefield, the director of this film, falsified data, lied, performed invasive painful procedures on children without ethical approval, and did not declare massive financial conflicts of interest, none of which she provides any evidence for. And she says this for the millionth time. Now, why do you have to repeat something a million times when there's no evidence to back it up? That's why. Repeat a lie often and people will believe it. He has lost his license to practice medicine and remains unsupported by any respected expert in either vaccines or autism, apart from all the people in the film, including America's number one medical talk show host. All right. These are the accepted facts. Oh, are they accepted? Are they? Are they facts? Are they? And Wakefield is the person delivering the messages to communities like Kaitaia through his Mondo film. Mondo film. What is he in Flash Gordon? Well, Vaxxed is a film that will appeal to people who believe that the moon landing was filmed in a Hollywood basement and reject the warming of the planet as a fact. It will also scare good, decent parents who want to do the best for their kids.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
And again, repeat that, what would you call it? Characterization, conspiracy theorist, if you believe that vaccines cause autism because there's rafts of evidence, lots of admissions, lots of exposed documents, lots of whistleblowers over the last like 20, 30, 40 years or whatever, that all of this stuff has actually been really coming out. You must believe in the moon landing then, you know, being a hoax, which it is, you know. Okay, if you want to know the moon landing is a hoax, few words. Van Allen radiation belt. Okay, four words-ish. Van Allen radiation belt. Just Google that and then ask how a bunch of guys in a tin can with no lead lining managed to get to the moon and back through that giant frickin' deadly radiation belt and then come back to Earth, not develop any cancers, and live long lives. Explain that one to me. This is what makes the whole thing stink so badly, just like this opinion piece. The promoters are so despicable, and again, she's self-referential here, I'm so despicable, that they even targeted Somali refugees in a community in U.S. Minnesota with devastating consequences. Oh, they targeted and, right. Now there is a measles outbreak and kids are in hospital. By chance, was it kids who got the measles vaccine? Just like every other measles outbreak that's been publicized in the media to freak people out, abandon their reason, and then go to the hospital to get a measles vaccine, to get infected with the measles, to then get reported on and overblown in the media to freak everybody out to come in and get more vaccine. This is not really what we want in our NZ communities. No. What we want is scumbaggery and lies and propaganda and cunty, bitchy, cheesy, dicky motherfuckers like this. I do not believe that showing the film represents free speech. Oh, yeah. Because obviously speaking your opinion is not protected by free speech. Right? Is that what she's saying here? Because all over the country, the organizers have done everything in their power to prevent any challenges, covert screenings, etc. You know why? Because every single time, in every single case, where they've ever advertised the place and the time of the screening ahead of time, pro-vaxxing scumbags and violent people show up and aggress them. And destroy the movie-going experience for those people who want to come and scare some of them away. Okay? This is why you do it. Because your opposition are people like this, who are unreasonable, who are psychologically disturbed. Because all over the country, in Auckland, the organizers began by issuing a warning to the audience that if they wanted to make trouble, they had people posted throughout the theater. Now, Lance said babies will die. He is not extremist. It is true. Yeah, I understand. Babies die all the time. It's called shaken baby syndrome, which if you look at the vaccine insert sheet, is one of the known side effects of getting a vaccine. So when you go in, you get your beautiful little baby girl or boy vaccinated, carried him for 9 months. You're really stressed out, sleep deprived, that kind of thing. It's tough. And then they give your kid a vaccine. They tell you it's safe. Don't show you the vaccine insert sheet. Then you take him home and he's dead the next morning, dead in his cot. Okay? And then you get taken to court for child abuse and they accuse you of beating your children. You feel that right there in this thing called a heart? Hurts, doesn't it? And that's just theoretical. There are many, many cases like that that have happened, and even worse. The impact of the anti-vaccination movement has been documented for over 200 years. And yet, for 200 years... these people have managed to keep propagandizing everyone. The consequences of this recent activity against MMR vaccine have included deaths from measles, which he provides no evidence for. And it is purely a numbers game about one per 1,000 cases will die. Okay, so you're telling me that instead of maybe educating people about staying hydrated, having vitamin C and vitamin A, which get depleted during the measles, which if you've got high vitamin A levels, you cannot die from the measles. Instead of giving them that, only when they get the measles, you give them something with formaldehyde, mercury, aluminium, and a live virus in it directed right into their bloodstream, bypassing their digestive system, okay, and crossing the blood-brain barrier. With the mercury in it. Yeah, well, you see, it sounds like a much fucking better idea, doesn't it? It is. Last outbreak in Auckland, 23% of cases went to hospital. And when she says the last major outbreak, just the last outbreak, there was like six people. Right? Or something like that. It was a very, very small number. It wasn't six people. It was more than that. Maybe like 30, 40, 50, 60 or something like that. And then 23% of cases went to hospital. Which case number will be the one who dies? Well, it certainly won't be the one who's having a reported death from a vaccine reaction. The outbreak costs untold millions to manage, and as opposed to selling vaccines, which give you untold billions in profit every year. The world is trying to eliminate measles, a major killer. It's a major killer. Oh, yeah? Does she provide any evidence? How many people got killed by measles last year? Maybe one? Maybe two? Oh, that's a major killer. Oh, mate. Let's stop pulling over people for speeding. Let's stop checking for drunk driving. Nah, mate. Let's just pump people's frickin' veins full of chemicals. That's just gonna save lives. People who promote vax are trying to thwart the efforts. Does this make them pro-measles? Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because obviously, anybody who doesn't want toxic waste pumped into their children's bloodstreams or the bloodstreams of other people's children, mind you, is promoting disease. And that's all that they want. You know, there's no evidence. The organizers of the film screening are crying foul. On their website, they accuse Dr. O'Sullivan of bullying. When you scream and shout at people, don't let them talk and threaten them and tell them you're going to kill babies by being here. That's bullying. Okay? Pretty straightforward. It's adult bullying. Although his behavior wasn't exactly adult. I certainly hope the accusations are unfounded. They are indeed grievous. People, perhaps waves, that's the organization here against vaccination and whatnot, may like to provide some evidence to support these claims. The video would speak otherwise. That's because the video was edited, uploaded in a couple of different sections, which Lance had surreptitiously recorded, right, that the mainstream media published those tiny little sections of and not the other stuff and not the full argument that he had outside with Trisha and all of this kind of stuff. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. I've broken down most of this article. So, last few lines. In taking the stage, Lance stood up for the tamariki and children in his community by killing them. Dr. Helen Patussis-Harris works at the Immunization Advisory Center and is a senior lecturer at the University of Auckland. Oh, well, thank you for your fucking unbiased opinion. Ugh, Mrs. Patussis, fuck you. Honestly, you're a fucking piece of shit. I apologize for the aggression, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm just blowing off some steam here. You know, it's all in good fun, you know. Exposing scumbaggery is supposed to be fun, because otherwise, people wouldn't be really interested in it. I'm going to go on to another article now. Controversial vaccine film pulled from NZ cinemas. It's by Morgan Tate, published on June the 9th, I think. Vax from cover-up to catastrophe. Vax claims have been widely discredited, with no source, and labeled anti-vaccination propaganda, with no source. All right. The story was originally published in newsroom.co.nz. It is republished with permission. So all they're just copying and pasting propaganda. Like, that's literally what they're doing. Controversial anti-vaccination movie Vax, and again, it's not anti-vaccination, and you see the repetition here that goes, right? They're anti-vax. They're anti just lies, no information, casting aspersions, no information, casting aspersions, no information. It's what they do. Now, if you were to only hear this, and you were not to hear Vinnie Eastwood, who knows what he's frickin' talking about sometimes, breaking down the bullshit line by line, you would have no alternative to the lie. No alternative. This would be all you would get. Four cinemas owned by or affiliated with Bridgeway Cinemas in Auckland, Tauranga and Upper Hutt have cancelled more than 10 screenings of the film. The 2016 film was recently slated by Northland doctor and former New Zealander of the Year, Dr. Lance O'Sullivan, who interrupted a Kaitaia screening to tell the crowd immunisation was important. To yell at the crowd and spread propaganda and scream and frickin' bully them, actually. As a cinema, we are a third-party medium that allows people... Oh, wait, sorry, I missed a line there. Bridgeway General Manager Steve... Ooh, that's a hard name to pronounce. Christ Odulu. Christ of the Loo. Man, he must have got a lot of shit from that in high school, especially when he went to church to take a shit. Told Newsroom the decision was made after feedback from customers. Oh, so some customers didn't like the film, so you made sure that no other customers could get to watch the movie. Is this guy running a cinema or a propaganda festival circuit? Right? As a cinema, we are a third-party medium that allows people to put their material on our screens, both movie content and alternative content. But not this alternative content. We put it up saying this is going to be screening, and we had a lot of negative feedback from customers. And this is why they don't tell you about the screenings first, because these vaxxers jump on you like a vicious dog on a baby. The screenings were to occur at Bridgeway, Northcote Point, the Monterey in Howick, Rialto Tauranga, and a cinema in Upper Hutt. Spokeswoman for Vaxxed in New Zealand, Truly Godfrey, who actually called me 2 minutes before the show today, actually, to have a chat, but I, you know, couldn't bring her on the show today. She's at work. Because that's the thing about activists, man. They have to try and save the world and hold down a stable job at the same time, just so that they can eat and live under a roof, you know? As opposed to these vaccine manufacturers who live in the life of Riley, killing other people's kids in the process. A screening was taking place in Nelson tomorrow night, she said. She said Christo DeLue, I'm going to actually practice that. Christo DeLue, Christo DeLue, Christo DeLue. There we go. I got it. Contacted the group. Oh, wait. Christo DeLue contacted the group and offered to screen the movies. Should I sing the rest of the – no, I'm not going to sing the rest of the article. I'm sorry. I'm not going to give you what you want. He contacted us a couple of weeks ago. The plan was to do 10 screenings and then had a meeting and called us a couple of days ago, and they basically said they had to pull the whole plan. She said, Christo DeLue, told her there have been about 40 complaints from customers and that private security would need to be arranged at each location in case of protesters. Christo DeLue said he had contacted police as a courtesy to let them know about the screenings. Vaxxed investigates the claims of a senior scientist at the US Center for Disease Control and Prevention, who says the center manipulated and destroyed data on an important study about autism and the MMR vaccine. The file's claims have been widely discredited. No, they've been claimed to be discredited, but all of the people claiming to discredit the film have never seen the film! Including this person here who cancelled all the screenings and labelled anti-vaccination propaganda by the pro-vaccination propaganda. Now, I wonder, what is this here? What is this here, ladies and gentlemen, I am looking at and embedded in this article as a little island? It is protect your whānau from serious diseases. Immunise, their best protection. The Ministry of Health. They've actually purchased ad space in this as propaganda. Holy. The problem with knowing what I'm seeing is that it pisses me off that there's a whole bunch of people who would read it and not know what they're seeing. Two people could look at this article and they'd see it completely different from me, who actually, you know, looks objectively and tries to look at evidence and the truth and expose scumbaggery and whatnot. Most people aren't trained to do that. They have no idea how to do that. I've been doing it for 10 years. I've learned from the best. This is my second nature. New Zealand now joins a raft of other countries which have taken the same steps. Dr. O'Sullivan told Newsroom today he supported the decision not to screen the movie. Oh, surprise there. His actions in Kaitaia were widely supported by other healthcare professionals, politicians, and high-profile New Zealanders, but not any of the people of New Zealand who know that vaccines are a scam. All right. On to the fluoridation issue, because I did ask Jonathan Coleman at the meeting about the fluoridation issue, and I apologize that I'm reading out mainstream media, but it's just fun to rip seven colors of shit out of them, all right? So we were dealing with really dumb, dumb people, okay? Understand that propagandists are not bright. Okay? They don't have a conscience. They don't have ethics. I am bright, and I have a conscience, and I have ethics. This is child's play. I can rip these people apart in seconds. Why has government proposed DHBs decide on water fluoridation? And what is fluoride anyway? This one by
Rachel Clayton.
Water fluoridation helps make teeth more resistant to decay by strengthening the tooth surface, for which there is no source and no proof has actually ever been put out that hydrofluorosilicic acid or hexafluorosilicate or any of the other fluoride compounds, which are not pharmaceutical grade, have oodles of other contaminants like lead, cadmium and arsenic and so on and so forth, don't actually help your teeth. In fact, what it does do to your teeth is produce white mottling and making your teeth brittle and chalky, called dental fluorosis. It's a sign of fluoride poisoning. See, right there in the first line, big, big lie. And they've got a huge picture here of a kid with really, really bad teeth just whittled down to the nub, which is baby bottle tooth decay. What's baby bottle tooth decay? Well, let's say you're a fuckwit. I know you're not because you're listening to this show, but let's just say you are, and that you don't know that giving a child sugary drinks in a drink bottle that they can suck on for hours and hours and hours without just drinking the glass of juice or whatever will fuck their teeth up, all right? You don't know that. So you do it anyway, it fucks their teeth up, and then you blame not having fluoridated water for the problem. That's baby bottle tooth decay. Okay, that's the propaganda these people always push. Always. It's just like, it's a constant. They can't help it. This week, the government proposed switching the decision-making powers for water fluoridation from local councils to district health boards, DHBs. That's because the local councils are elected by the people and can also be lobbied by the people and have to have public meetings that the people can attend. And also, the people on the district health boards aren't allowed to vote on council decisions because of a perceived conflict of interest, because they have a mandate to follow the Ministry of Health's dictates, not the council. So when that happened, they recused themselves from voting a number of times in places like Taranaki, the city of New Plymouth, and Hamilton, I believe, where the DHB members who were at the district council decided not to vote, you know, just abstain from voting because they have a clear conflict of interest, which is honourable. And then the other councillors voted 7 out of 9 in some cases to take the fluoride out of the water because they were presented information by Dr. Paul Connett, the Fluoride Action Network, and a number of other researchers that fluoride was really, really freaking dangerous for the community, and it was hurting them, hurting the kids, and wasn't an effective use of their money. And they could be teaching kids to brush their fucking teeth instead, you know. DHBs currently provide advice to local councils on fluoridation, but final decisions on where to fluoridate are made by local councils, who are democratically accountable. Under the proposed changes, DHBs will decide which community water supplies are fluoridated in its area. Each DHB will consider local data on oral health and direct water suppliers to fluoridate or not to fluoridate community their supplies. Now, when they say that, oh, we're going to look at the data. They're not going to look at the data. All right. If they had ever looked at any data, they would see that the non-fluoridated cities, like Christchurch, for example, have better oral health overall than fluoridated cities like Auckland, where I unfortunately live. I have to go to the organic shop to buy 20-litre big frickin' heavy bottles of water every couple of days because I'm a really, really thirsty bastard, and drinking fluoride at the rate that I drink water would probably give me mental disorders inside of a week, like all the other people who drink fluoridated water. Now, why does the government want to change the law? The government wants more towns to fluoridate their water supplies to help tackle New Zealand's high rates of avoidable tooth decay. But local councils have said this is a health issue, not a local council responsibility, namely because they got a hell of a lot of heat from the governments, district health boards, and other assorted scum when they did remove it, including giant propaganda leaflet drops. Like, I think this was like a week after Hamilton decided to remove the fluoride, the DHB spent like $40,000-$50,000 or something like that on some giant campaign with flashy ads, and there were screens everywhere in the hospital when I was down there, and it was just like playing over and over and over, fluoride safe and effective, fluoride safe and effective. Health Minister Jonathan Coleman said, quote, at the moment, 40% of under fives in New Zealand have had a rotten tooth. That's up to 60% in Māori. You mean the economically disadvantaged that you created with your government by removing benefits, removing employment rights, starting up with the end of overtime and so on and so forth, so that now people are so frickin' broke that not only can they barely afford to feed their kids, but when they do feed their kids, they can only feed them junk food. Because when you go to the supermarket, like, let's say I was buying two free-range organic chicken breasts, okay? $14. Let's say I wanted to buy six bags of chips, three 1.5 liter bottles of Coke, and a block of chocolate. $12. You see? If you only have that $12, you can't even afford the chicken, what are you going to wind up feeding your kids? Okay, these people have destroyed the economy, and the direct effect of destroying the economy is it's destroying people's health, destroying it through stress, lack of nutrition, and lack of available money. Right? The best and most effective method in combating that is in the fluoridation of the water supply, he says. Bullshit. The Scottish Child Smile program has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you educate children about healthy food and drinks, educate their parents about healthy food and drinks, have regular dental screenings at your schools, and have free dental surgery and stuff for under 10s or whatever, you find that the tooth decay rates and everything like that drop massively, especially when you include the organized and supervised brushing in the mornings at the little primary schools. Right? It's working a treat for them, man. Their rates of dental decay used to be worse than ours when they were fluoridating, right? And now that they're not fluoridating and instead doing that Child Smile program, their tooth decay rates are now better than ours. So what's New Zealand's answer to it? More fluoride! Fuckers. Local Government New Zealand President Lawrence Yule.
The Yule.
Said many local... It just sounds evil. Right, I'm just saying the name sounds evil.
Lawrence Yule.
But, said many councils, I'm just making that up, by the way. I don't know if he's evil or not. Probably. Especially small ones had been involved in legal battles over water fluoridation, but the issue was not in the council's area of expertise. Now, when they say legal battles, it's over forced fluoridation. Okay, a couple of guys took this to court some time ago, actually, stating that forced fluoridation or that kind of stuff illegal under the Geneva Convention, the judges in New Zealand, I think there's something like 150 judges and about 120 of them or something like that are related by first cousin at least. That's how uncorrupt our justice system is in this fucking country. And, what they did was go, nope, that's not forced medication. By the way, Minister Coleman. Can you change the Medicines Act to make sure that fluoride's not in it so that when people try to sue us for force medicating them because fluoride's not in the Medicine Act, it can't technically be force medication? Oh, sure, no problem. Just the cynicism of it. It makes me proud. Fluoridation has run into strong opposition around the country. In December 2012, New Zealand, New Health New Zealand, Inc. challenged a decision by the South Taranaki District Council to add fluoride to the water supplies of two small towns in South Taranaki. The High Court found in favour of the council and confirmed local authorities have the power to add fluoride to drinking water. So what is fluoride and what is all the fuss about? Fluoride is a naturally occurring fluorine-containing salt found in air, soil, water, seawater, plants and many foods. It's also an industrial toxin that is captured by the wet scrubbers. of chimneys and the phosphate fertilizer industry. What's the phosphate fertilizer industry? Well, they've got the most giant slurry pits in the world that you can see from space, and they're full of this toxic sludge that is incredibly expensive to dispose of safely and legally. However, there's a vagary in local council law where if you sell somebody a toxic waste product because you sold it to them, it's no longer classified legally as a toxic waste product. It is, therefore, now classified as just a product. Now, it's illegal to dump toxic waste into the water supply, but it ain't illegal to dump a product into it. So they've got these huge foundries, right? Foundry's not the right word. Smokestacks with this really toxic stuff coming out. Like back in the early 1900s, they said it was killing people, like these clouds of smoke from fluoride and stuff like that in the air, floating down in the air. And like literally people were freaking dropping dead. So they go, well, you can't do that anymore. So they develop these little spray hose things that are inside the chimney so that they spray a coating of water so that it captures all of that stuff. And then it goes down a chute into these giant toxic slurry pits, right? Okay, that's how you get your fluoride now. Not the frickin' stuff found in salt, air, soil, and water and everything like that. That's naturally occurring stuff. The stuff that they're planning on dumping in the water is not naturally occurring. It is added to water supplies with low levels of fluoride to help protect against tooth decay. No, it's not. It's there to cause cancer, which will profit the cancer industry, to cause dental fluorosis, which is now making dentists more money than treating tooth decay, mind you. And it's also there to reduce your sperm count in accordance with eugenics. I could show you evidence of this, but we don't have time. You go and search it for yourself. You'll find it. The Ministry of Health said that in the 1900s, some Americans were seen to have unsightly brown stains on their teeth, but were highly resistant to tooth decay. The brown stains came from where there was too much fluoride in the water. This is called dental fluorosis. Optimal levels of fluoride in water were found to be 0.7 to 1.2 parts per million, which the CDC then found out was not good, and they reduced it to 0.6 parts per million, halving the amount that was in the normal things. But nobody ever really heard that in the news, did they? Repeated 1,000 times. Safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. Oh, my God. This ensured teeth were resistant to decay, but stayed pearly white with the giant brown stains on them. You can see the logic. According to the ministry, fluoride protects teeth in three ways. And of course, they only ask the ministry. They don't ask dentists, who have any knowledge of fluoride other than what they told in dental school, which they never provided any evidence to back up. Three claims. Prevents tooth decay by strengthening the enamel on the tooth surface and making it more resistant to acid. Now, first of all, the CDC admitted that if you do it topically, it can work, but only in very, very high concentrations, like 5,000 parts per million or something like that, if they've got in fluoridated toothpaste. The problem is when you're drinking water at 0.7 parts per million, how much of that is getting on your teeth as it goes down your throat? And second question, is your entire body internally just teeth? Or are there other organs and stuff that get affected by this shit? Oh, there is? Huh. Well, fuck, why haven't there been any studies on that? Well, there have been. There have actually been lots and lots of studies on every single kind of animal, including human beings and politicians, known to fucking man. And they've all come away with a very bad result, saying that fluoride's, no, oh, it's killing your brain. It's giving you hip fractures and stuff like that, blah, 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 blah. And it's got a million other things that it can do to you that's really not that good. Reduces the growth of bacteria that mix with sugar in the mouth to create acid. Now, here's the problem. When you've got bacteria in your mouth and you're having a whole lot of sugar, the bacteria love that sugar and they start to grow out of control. And that's why the sugar creates all of the bloody dental problems that we've got. But they've got no plans whatsoever to kick Coca-Cola out of this country or legislate to have them have not 28 fucking teaspoons of sugar in 300 mils of a Coca-Cola bottle. All right? You know why they put 28 teaspoons of sugar in there? To disguise the 1 teaspoon of salt. Because after you finish drinking it,
You get thirsty for another one.
Is my water fluoridated? Only 27 of New Zealand's 67 local authorities have water fluoridation. This leaves 1.4 million Kiwis without fluoridation. Oh, those poor things that don't have fluoride. Is non-fluoride water more pure than fluoridated water? No. Fluoride is a compound that naturally occurs in most waters. The Privy Council confirmed fluoride was not an impurity in 1963. After doing no studies on it. So what's the deal with all those people who say fluoride is poisoning us? Well, while it is true that too much fluoride in water could have devastating effects on the human body, the Ministry of Health said it would require drinking over 5,000 glasses of fluoridated water at one time, or 5,000 glasses over a lifetime. All right, because it all goes into your body and it starts to get into your bones. That's why it causes brittle bone syndrome, because your body is trying to protect itself by getting the fluoride away from the main organs in the body, away from the bloodstream. And that's why the bones soak it up, because it's the only safe way that it can actually get rid of them. And when I say safe, I mean it's going to fuck you up. In fact, according to the ministry, most fluoride levels in New Zealand water are too low to protect against tooth decay. And yet, the unfluoridated cities have better teeth than the fluoridated. I wonder how that happens. The safety of water fluoridation has been researched for over 60 years. No, it hasn't been researched for over 65 years. Okay? It hasn't been researched, like, at all. At all. Do you know how many studies there have been in New Zealand measuring people's urine or blood to see whether or not they're suffering from fluoride poisoning? You guessed it. Fucking zero. Zero. They've done zero studies on blood and urine samples to prove whether or not the fluoride is affecting them negatively. Okay? That's how much evidence they got. But the WHO website showed fluoride was a desirable substance that could prevent or reduce dental decay and strengthen bones. Fluoride was only on the hazards list because excess fluoride had been found to have crippling effects on some people in the remote Kabi Anglong district in the state of Assam in India and many other places in India where all their bones are turning to like mush, basically. You know, it's not like the Indians have got enough to worry about with Monsanto spraying bloody pesticides all over their lands and everything like that and stealing the farms after they sell Terminator seeds to them. No, that's not a problem at all. So are there any side effects? Yes, there are. Lowered IQ, cancer risk, decreased fertility, and so on and so forth. But are they going to say no, and you need to drink heaps of it, blah, 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 blah? Yes, they are. An excess of fluoride can cause mottling, little white specks on the teeth. That's about it. Unless you happen to drink 5,000 glasses of fluoridated water. I just love the just straight, blatant lies of these people. So it's safe in New Zealand? Fluoride levels in New Zealand are kept at safe levels. They've never even determined what it is. And they've got no controllage of the dosage. So they don't know how much fluoride people are even fucking drinking, bro. A 2014 review of scientific evidence found fluoridation levels in New Zealand created no health risks and provided protection against tooth decay. Now, that was the Gluckman and Skegg report that was universally panned by the scientific community as being the most cynical, unscientifically conducted review of the literature that anybody in the community had ever fucking seen. That is the evidence that they are using to justify this. The review said, quote, communities that currently do not provide CWF, community water fluoridation, particularly those with high dental caries prevalence, would benefit from its implementation. Rachel Clayton, writing this article, fuck you. All right. And last one here. I don't think we're actually going to have time for it. We're going to be coming to break now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you are happy with the fact that I am actually trying to break down some of the media propaganda that us Kiwis are being blasted with and all this scumbaggery and whatnot, I urge you to go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and send $1 a month my way. Okay, I just need lights. I just need the power to run the computers. I need food, water, air. I need the basics of life, and that's it. That's all it takes to do this job. It's not very expensive. I'm living on, what, less than 400 New Zealand dollars a week? Okay, that's pittance. Right, it's nothing. I spend like 250 bucks a week just on rent for this place so that I can actually have a proper office that I can work in with a couple of doors and things like that to close for sound insulation and whatnot. So if you do value having an alternative media source that does not lie to you and in fact finds the lies that all of these other scum are telling and exposes them like a strip joint, then go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and unzip your wallet for me. There's a PayPal button there. There's a Patreon as well and the Kiwi Bank. And if you do donate, please tell me about it. Send me an email or something like that on Facebook, and I can add you to the Facebook donors group, which allows you to see all the new content before it's made public. Thank you very much. We'll see you after the break with Randy Moggins.
Yes, I like very much
radio. You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
And I hope people support American Freedom Radio. And I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having American Freedom Radio. Because that's my family. If you love me at all, Jack Blood, support American Freedom Radio. Like, my family has literally disowned me in American Freedom Radio. Danny and Don and those guys, those are my actual family. So please, please support these guys because they have all the technology, they have all these great things that they're gonna do, but obviously they can't do it all by themselves. So not only would I like to see you support them, I'd like to see you retweet them and repost them and really get involved and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, on doing that do-it-yourself promotion, because they're a do-it-yourself radio network and we just need that so much.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. HempUSA.org introduces 3 brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park, and when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride, and we kill those people. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
What has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Provide us for free education?
Well, that's obviously effective, but apart from reversing the dumbing down of America...
All the information they provide is free?
What about the free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, man?
Exploiting commonplace corruption?
They help vulnerable people who don't have a voice?
Bringing light to important information nobody else does.
Well, they never sent so hung up or cut off their guests.
Well, that's no fun, is it?
Well, they created a fantastic alternative media source during an era of bad, manipulative, and infiltrated mainstream and alternative media shills and scum.
Okay, well, apart from the free education, free information, free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, exposing commonplace corruption, helping vulnerable people without a voice, bringing light to important information nobody else does, and creating a fantastic commercial-free alternative media source in a sea of bad, manipulative mainstream and alternative media shills and scum, what has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Donate to American Freedom Radio today.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics,
no taboo topics,
no fear of doom,
no fear of doom.
We are American Freedom Radio,
American Freedom Radio.
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
I pulled into Nazareth, was feeling about half past dead.
So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was hurting myself, and now
I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Because I'm happy. Clap now if you know what happiness is to you.
Levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the most animated 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, with the exception of the Ghost in the Shell podcast. Now, my very special guest joining me for this hour to talk about the UFO community and the, I don't know what you'd call it. It's like having a bowl of cornflakes made out of barbed wire and trying to eat it. That's what it's like a lot of the time in the truth community, because there's all this infighting, there's a lot of infiltration and lots of scumbaggery and that kind of thing. So we're just going to try and elucidate on a lot of the recent developments in the UFO community. To date, Randy Morgans from Off Planet Radio, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Vinny.
You sound really energetic.
Oh, sorry. Oh, stage nerves, you know. I'm on American Freedom Radio, and they're going, well, you should turn your webcam on. And I'm going, oh, really? Wow, new innovations in radio, eh? This is great. It's like a Dick Tracy wristwatch. That's an American thing for kids from the 60s. Never mind. Anyway, thanks for having me on, man.
Because I, too, am a dick. Now, would you be able to elucidate a little bit about this blue avian cult that's been coming up lately?
The blue avians, the blue chicken people. That's what Cliff High is calling them. Well, it's not a recent invention. It seems to go back 2 or 3 years to the emergence of a man named Corey Good, who broke out of the forums at Project Avalon. A lot of this has been chronicled over the last few months on numerous talk radio shows, podcasts, including mine. But it really
Randy, one second. One second. We're having a little bit of trouble with your feed. So if you have any web programs open or anything like that, if you could just close them all down and get the prime signal. But if you already have, I'm a dick. Continue.
Are we good?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
All right. I don't know what's causing that. I'm theoretically got a pretty clean signal.
But anyway, let's not worry about it.
Oh, wow.
We'll survive it.
Yep. We're good. Right. All my bars are lit up. It looks like we're good. So maybe we're just getting, it's probably the aliens. The bastards don't like us talking about them. Mm. So the Blue Chicken people and Corey Good, and most people know this story. It's gone viral 100 times. It really kind of lit up around Contact in the Desert, which occurred several weeks ago in Joshua Tree, California, where Corey Good, who, I'll tell you how this all began. My producer and co-host, Emily Moyer, sent me this graphic back in mid-May and said, hey, take a look at this. And it was a picture of Corey Good in a blue uniform with his arms folded like Captain America. And he had this spray tan. He looked marvelous. It was kind of like, wow. So having ignored this whole situation for a long time because I really find it mostly trivial, I went over and started to take a look at Corey Good's website. And what I saw actually appalled me. Fully blown now, CGI productions, that's computer graphics for those of you out there, videos, and they've really developed the whole branding thing around this blue avian thing that Corey Good came out with as a result of recovered memories, good script writers at Gaia TV, David Wilcock. So the blue avian thing was kind of a branding move that gave it kind of a unique spin, because up until now, ufology has largely focused on the tall whites and the grays and the tall grays and the reptilians and the Draco. But we got some pretty aliens finally. We got some that are a pretty color blue, and they have a very nice sheen to them. And they're giving us a message. What I saw on Corey's site was basically the blue avians have a message for humanity. And, gosh, that message is forgive yourself, forgive others, and continue to love. And that's a great message, except there's this little thing called the alien deception that kind of sits out there on the horizon that a lot of people don't seem to understand. Silly humans, you've been dominated by alien species for thousands of years, so now we're going to give you the friendly ones. So that's kind of the nutshell of the whole thing with the Corey Good marketing campaign via the TV show with Gaia and Contact in the Desert.
Sorry about that. Now, I want to read out the notes that we put here for and actually go through them as we can. So you're consumed by a media war with assholes in the UFO community. Can you explain that? Can you explain that statement?
Well, from my perspective right now, I'm watching people just shred each other. There's never really been a strong continuity in the UFO community. There are camps. But what's happening now, and especially since the stakes have gotten higher, because remember, this has kind of become a money game. We have an entire camp that comprises the Corey Good contingent that represents what I will call kind of the new age fantasist mode of ufology, the people that really embrace the gestalt of full engagement with alien species in order to complete ourselves as humanity. And there's a whole philosophy that goes into it. There's this whole kind of, well, with the women, it's kind of the Earth Mother thing. With the guys, they're kind of space captains. You know, they really do have kind of a comic book theology thing going on. And on the other side of it, you have hard researchers, people who have spent decades really, I will say, doing what I would call journeyman work, documentarian work. The people out there, the Rich Dolans, the Joseph Farrells, people who write scholarly tomes and address conferences on a regular basis. And they've taken the stance that largely we require very firm evidence of everything that's being presented. So on the one side, you have the Corey Good camp, which represents a community that's grown up around Corey Good's memories, so-called, or the fiction that has been woven by Corey Good along with his script writers, which includes Jay Widener over at Gaia TV too. So a lot of this has been data mined and pulled together from other people who have come out previously declaring about the secret space program. You had Randy Kramer. We just interviewed Andy Boshago, who has been out there talking for you know, 7 or 8 years now about Project Pegasus and what happened in his experiences with Pegasus. You're familiar with Andy.
I'm actually was speaking to him a couple of days ago. Actually, he's going to be coming on in July.
Excellent. Yeah, we had a 3-hour discussion. We're releasing part two of that probably within the next 24 hours of that conversation with Andy. Listen, you know, the thing about it is what's torn the community apart is that it's factionalized and it's, a lot of people have been marginalized. A lot of the people that actually have good information, not necessarily information that you can place on paper, but what I would call confirmational anecdotal evidence and strong evidence based on things that are beginning to develop right now. On the other hand, the people who have been scraping for documents, filing FOIA requests, looking into military documents have taken a hardened approach that the experiencers simply aren't to be trusted. And in the middle of that comes the Corey Good camp, which has said, screw it, throw everything out the window. We don't need proof of anything. Corey's going to lead us through this. He has all of his memories now. And the Blue Avians have said, hey, this is the way it's going to go. And this has radicalized the people on the documentary side of it because they're saying, look, this guy's just making shit up, which he is. You know, we demonstrated this. I did an interview with Christine Anderson, who was the former wife of Bill Ryan during the time that Corey Good was emerging out of Project Avalon. Christine interviewed Corey Good in his home long before he ever even became, frankly, Corey Good as we know him now. So we know a little bit about the emergence of Corey Good. We know that what began as probably a story of somebody who suffered pretty severe PTSD as a result of being in some kind of government project eventually evolved into somebody who has become a polished product. And that has created a great deal of animosity on both sides of the aisle in the UFO community. So you now have the stratification between the people who are going, no, we need documentation, and the people who are going, we don't have to prove anything. We're just going to channel the whole thing. I mean, come on, man. This is a full-on experience. And so we now have Stephen Greer has disclaimed Corey Good. But then again, Andrew Bashago and another whistleblower, I hate the term whistleblower, let me change that, another discloser who was on our show off Planet Radio, a survivor of MKUltra, Alisa E., both her and Andy Bashago have identified Stephen Greer as a CIA handler. Andy Bashago identified Stephen Greer as being at school of the Siskiyous in the 1970s as a 27-year-old man identified to him as a CIA operative. Alisa E. has told us that she distinctly remembers being programmed to Stephen Greer, meaning that Stephen Greer was acting in some fashion as a handler. So you take that for what it's worth out of the mouths or two. A thing may be so. We have two independent witnesses that identify Stephen Greer as a CIA asset who's now thrown Corey Good under the bus, which has further splintered that aspect of the UFO community as well.
So, maybe there's an agenda here to just destroy the UFO community altogether and to make it so factionalized and so radicalized that it won't actually get anywhere near disclosure.
It's never going to get near my opinion, I'll cloak that. It's never going to get anywhere near disclosure anyway, because there's not a cohesive narrative in most of it. When you boil it down, there is a cohesive narrative. There are things in the sky. There are objects that we cannot identify. Some of them are military. Many of them are military. There are things out there that I believe, many people believe, justifiably so, belong to what we would consider off-world entities, off-world forces. But proving that becomes a bit more difficult. We have massive amounts of ET abduction witnesses over decades that indicate something's going on with people who have been abducted, people who have been subjected to testing, DNA extraction, hybridization projects, people who have been thrown into time distortion loops, the whole syndrome that you have with people who have been taken in the middle of the night, the sleep paralysis. I mean, we have to look at the body of evidence, and I'm in favor of that. And I'm in favor of documents wherever we can get them, but I'm also in favor of people's anecdotal evidence, which adds up over time and corroboration. I think those are all important. But what it is doing is it's now making it nearly impossible to functionally have a UFO community as such. And what is happening is that big money's come in and co-opted it and melded it into what you would call the MKUltra CIA super soldier gestalt, which is where you get to the secret space program, which is very problematic.
Now, you said that they're attempting a fakeover, right? That George Norrie is stumbling off to stage left. David Wilcock needs a new act. Roger Ramsay, reported by the Dark Journalist to be a Satanist, is doing comic books and puppet shows, right? And there's a changing of the guard in the disclosure community.
There's a changing of the guard in the disclosure community. If a contact in the desert 2017 signaled anything, it was the changing of the guard. It was the handing off of the baton. Where coast to coast, George Norrie, the various permutations of Project Camelot have been the mainstays for UFO disclosure. That's changing. The conferences themselves are changing immensely right now. They're going more into big budget, high ticket, high production, high gloss, people who want to meld high tech media with a so-called disclosure platform, meaning Gaia TV's production of the Corey Good story via the Secret Space Program and what that entails. The people who have come forward to try and patchwork into Corey Good's testimony, but at the same time, really, they haven't done anything other than we have a bunch of overlap. We have William Tompkins, who writes a book. We have Dr. Michael Sala, who's out there collecting evidence all over the place to attempt to patchwork into Corey Good's story. Everything is streaming towards Corey Good at the moment as the cohesive element that holds all this together. And that's new, because in the past there has not been this cult of personality type figuredom that's now going on. And it's interesting to note that at Contact in the Desert 2017, among other things, the marketing initiative announced by Corey Good through his business partner Roger Ramsay, which is basically slated to begin doing animations, comic books, and aiming towards bringing younger people into the disclosure movement via a group they're calling Corey's Kids, which even includes giving out disclosure backpacks to kids. It's a novel idea. But where does it take us? Where is this going right now? It's the changing of the guard, and it's messy.
Well, and also, it's very, very bad when you've got a cult of personality, especially when it's called the Vinnie Eastwood Show. But the thing of it, but the thing I want to really kind of point out here is that when you're dealing with people who are at the center of something and they're part of a crew and all of that kind of stuff, there's something somebody told me once. I can't remember who said it. It might have even been a Mark Twain quote or something like that. But if you want to really destroy an idea, create an organization around it.
Exactly.
All right, the people in the UFO community that are actually making the headway and are actually striving for everything are individuals acting on their own volition, not for profit, and writing books and things of that nature so they can continue to keep doing their works a lot of the times. This is the profile that the genuine UFO disclosers actually seem to take, and they do that every single time. And they usually get rejected by other groups of people and chastised and attacked in the media and so on and so forth because they're telling the truth, not because they're crazy. Now, if you could, on the other hand, create a story and a narrative and market it properly so that you could layer the entire UFO community with a crazy story and a cult leader figurehead, etc., you can essentially tar everybody with a brush and make everybody who was thinking about looking into UFO disclosure and the vast rafts of evidence that there is about it, and suddenly dismiss it all. All right, I'm just spitballing here. You know, they can't all be gone.
But you're actually close to the idea. On one hand, it is a co-opting of the movement. On the other, it is actually tangentially discrediting of the movement because it's trivializing it. When, you know, and this is the serious aspect of all of this, when the narrative spins this far into the realm of fiction, what gets marginalized is the fact that there are real people. There are the Andrew Bashagas, the Duncan O'Finians, the Elise's. There are dozens and dozens of people who have come forward to relate horrible, horrific stories about MK Ultra and other Black Ops mind control projects over decades. This is not conjecture at this point. These people exist. These people have documented it. The government itself, through the Rockefeller Commission in the 1970s, admitted there was a project MK Ultra. We know that these projects existed, still exist, are still running, and there are a whole bunch of us out here that have been saying for decades, listen, these people have been screwing with us. They've been screwing with our kids. They've been screwing with people in general. There's a mind control program going on. And the UFO overlap when this largely comes into play with something that's called MILLABS, which means that the military has in some way either in concert with off-world entities or on its own been doing abductions as well. All of this is very murky and very gray because we can't get to the nub of it because we're all fighting over it with each other.
I recall.
So in a sense.
Like in 2014 or something like that, a statistic came out that there were like 20,000 abductions in the reported in the continental US in 2014 or something like that. And there were like 12 UFO abductions reported for the whole rest of the world. Right? And just like, okay, maybe that story that came out about the US government signing a treaty with one specific alien species in exchange for harvesting rights of the US population so that they could test their weapons on them and harvest their genetic material or use them as hors d'oeuvres, whatever, has some truth to it.
Right. That was the greater treaty that was allegedly signed by Eisenhower in 1954, which interestingly enough kicks off this whole era when you begin to see the massive ramp up of human abductions and people that are disappearing. It's also in parallel as well to the people who were being sucked into Black Ops projects in the same period of time. First generation MK Ultra begins roughly around that time in the mid 1950s and continues onward. So there's parallel tracks to all of this. And again, I just, you know, I want to point out that when we turn all of this into an entertainment medium, we have to pretty it up. We have to make it look nice. You can't tell the little kiddies that they're going to take you into a room and put electrodes onto your head and shock you to split you so you have five different personalities they can program as assassins or spies or any of the other operations that they want people to do. That's like the extreme end of it. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, what's getting lost in the whole argument now is the reality of some very dark things. The Corey Good story goes into that, but it doesn't really go to the meat of it because, quite frankly, you can't sell that. That has to be cleaned up. That has to be sanitized. So now, in a literal sense, yes, right now they are tearing each other apart over this.
Yeah, well, it was your viral post on Facebook that actually kicked off this whole thing. It was leaked to the good camp. Maybe that's a bad way of describing them, and discombobulated the entire universe.
Well, and, apparently,
good old Bill Ryan drug himself out of obscurity after 4 years of doing nothing to write an expose on the Blue Avian Cult and Corey Good.
Yeah, that's the rough, yeah, what happened there was a Facebook post that I made, which theoretically it gets seen by, I don't know, I've got, I think, 1,900 followers on Facebook, So theoretically, maybe 100 people would see the post. But the post got put onto Project Avalon by a third party. And it was picked up by Bill Ryan, who did acknowledge my post as the genesis for his then going forward and compiling all of the Corey Good information as a way of creating a narrative of the emergence of Corey Good from Project Avalon. Now, all that would be fine, except that that's not really what happened. What really happened was it was a very contoured narrative that misses a lot of the finer points that went into the story in the background, including what happens in forums, specifically Avalon, in terms of personalities, the cult aspects of Project Avalon, the amount of mind control that goes into Project Avalon, and the fact that at some point people's buttons get pushed in a certain way that forces them to take actions that then go into what we had with Corey Good, which was kind of a meltdown. It was kind of a separation, and that was somewhat engineered. There were two interviews with Corey Good. The first one was done by Christine Anderson. She did a second interview that Bill Ryan deemed unfit to be aired because he said the sound quality was bad. The sound was cleaned up by a friend of mine who I've spoken with several times. He's known as the Ruiner. He's also known as Shane. And Shane provided the narrative for that second audio as well, which was effectively the end of Christine Anderson's relationship with Bill Ryan, the end of Project Avalon's association with Corey Good, and a complete fracturing of the Project Avalon forum as well. So the narrative that's now been spun by Bill Ryan, courtesy of the dark journalist who gave him 3 hours, has been put out there as the official narrative because, aside from the fact that I brought out the interview with Christine Anderson and Shane the Ruiner, there has been no alternative narrative offered on what really went on. We put up a document with 150 pages of lost, deleted, redacted, changed, altered entries into, online forums made by Corey Good that traces the whole narrative of how he went from this unemployed IT worker in Texas to being courted, sparked, contracted, signed, and filmed by Gaia TV to do this major groundbreaking, and it is, TV series about the secret space program. That's quite a leap in 2 years. I will say, you know, we came a long way on that one. And that narrative was nurtured as well in the background by several key figures that includes Dr. Michael Sala and Jay Widener, who is a writer at Gaia TV, was brought on board to basically bring this thing up to production level.
Well, Jay's a good writer. He could probably do it.
He's a hell of a writer.
I was just thinking about this as well, though. This Corey's kids aspect, right? I was just thinking about all the processes of cult indoctrination, and it's get the kids, have a claim of truth, repeat the claim of truth, ostracize people who don't agree with you, that kind of thing, attack other people and claim that they're working for the enemy when they discredit you and so on and so forth. And it's like every single bar along a classic cult indoctrination technique is right there. Now, there's another who was it? There was a lady, a really, really famous lady in the UFO community who Corey Good put on his, one of the slides of one of his presentations or something that she was supporting his work and she wasn't. Linda Moulton Howe.
Linda Moulton Howe. Who, by the way, is a friend of the dark journalist. So just tossing that out there, just saying, the details of that are a little murky. I traced it back. We have a disclaimer statement from Linda Moulton Howe that says she is not associated with or working with Corey Good or Gaia TV in any way. This was largely as part of a book that's being written by, again, Michael Sala, William Tompkins, Corey Good, and several other people in what I guess is going to be some sort of anthology-type document work for full disclosure now. So basically they're putting together a group of people to put out what's effectively going to be the full disclosure now narrative in printed form. And it was said that Linda Moulton Howe was going to be a part of this. So, well, I don't have enough input from Linda Moulton Howe. I don't have connection to her to know, except that the statement was issued on her website stating she was not a part of this project.
It was alleged by the Dark journalist that the reason he put Linda Moulton Howe's name on that slide is to give him credibility. And it only took like 2 seconds for anybody to find out whether or not she had support of it. So, and they haven't retracted that and explained it and said, oh, well, we made a mistake or something like that. They deliberately did it. They deliberately lied to give themselves yeah. credibility so that they could indoctrinate new people into this new blue avian cult that they're creating, to divide the, disclosure community and essentially co-opt an entire new generation of, potential UFO disclosure initiates that they're going to indoctrinate as children with these, little, what are they called? Disclosure backpacks with full of goodness knows what goodies, you know?
Yeah. Granola bars and comic books and condoms and who knows what, fairy dust. That's the plan. The plan is largely to go after a younger generation and, you know, well financed enough, certainly within. But you were talking earlier about how this profiles as a cult. That was the original post that I made on Facebook. That was the point of the whole thing. This looks, it smells like a cult. When you see how they're using everything from colors to CGI graphics to how they pose Corey Good, how all of this is being framed in such a way that pulls people into a believer state, because the whole point of a cult is obviously to get them to believe enough that they invest in the cult. It was right. the Jesuits that said, give me a child of 7 years old and I have them for life. So of course, you're going to go for the kids.
Don't you find this very interesting, the timing of it? Just as the flat earth cult starts to lose its momentum and go down, this one comes up. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're being played on a grand scale here on a day-by-day, decade-by-decade basis. I think maybe every 8 to 10 years, the exact same narrative that was once being put around starts getting put around again, right? Like an election. More or less, you know, the same guy that comes in and promises to undo all the crap that the old guy did. And then he winds up doing all the new crap that everybody else was doing the whole time anyway. And it makes no effing difference. And it's the same thing. We're being co-opted. We're being cult indoctrinated. We're being recruited. We're being sabotaged. All right. And that's another thing. The word sabotage. Do you think this Corey Good UFO disclosure movement could qualify as essentially sabotaging all the work that the UFO disclosure community has done to date?
Look at the state of MUFON right now. Look what's going on with MUFON. MUFON is being splintered also.
You'll have to explain MUFON to me. I'm unfamiliar.
MUFON is the Mutual UFO Network. This is the large organization, the largest organization in the United States, which is theoretically a clearinghouse and investigative nonprofit organization for ufology. They basically have chapters in every state, and they have investigators that go out. They are investigative. They are researched. They are supposed to be running databases. They're the big dog in ufology here in the United States. MUFON itself has experienced a number of stumbling blocks lately. It actually has for years. It's been co-opted for a number of years. The director of the state of Pennsylvania has just had to step down after making racist remarks, horrible racist remarks. I wouldn't even repeat them. We're seeing fracturing inside of MUFON on a number of fronts right now. We're also seeing globally how even the Rendlesham Forest narrative is breaking down as the co-author, and I'm not going to name names here, but the co-author of the key book on the Rendlesham Forest incident has now disclaimed that narrative as having been hoaxed as well. We have massive amounts of discrediting over Roswell. And I mean, look at this, Vinny. 70 years, we're still talking about Roswell like it's the motherlode of ufology. We're still talking about Rendlesham, which is over 40 years old now. We had this Stephen Greer, Stephen Bassett sponsored in the United States forum on disclosure, which featured prominent American politicians and the gentleman from Canada, Paul Hellyer, appeared there as well. And they really opened no new ground at all. They spent enormous amounts of money. They had it on TV. They made videos. Ufology is going nowhere right now because, quite frankly, on the one hand, it's been run by a bunch of old farts who haven't uncovered much of anything in the last 20 years. And on the other hand, you now have the young upstarts who just want to basically blow this out into fantasy land.
Well, it seems relating this back to the flat earth thing, because I was like, flat earth movement came up, and then all of a sudden everybody who was a conspiracy theorist about anything, where 9/11 was an inside job, vaccines are bad for you, fluoride's bad, it doesn't matter what it was, everybody suddenly started getting called a flat earther. Okay?
That's right.
And it set the movement back a decade. It set the movement back a fucking decade. Like, it hasn't been since 2008, 2007, when there was the Building 3 or Building 7 or Building what?
And Building
the,
7, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All of that stuff started coming out 10 years ago, and we're now back to frickin' square one because of this flat earth cult. And I'm predicting that this blue avian cult is going to do the same thing to the UFO community. What do you think about that?
No, it absolutely is. The flat earth thing. And you see the same thing in this. You see this extremism. With the flat earth thing became so extreme, so volatile, that none dare bring it up anymore except in closed circles. The flat earthers have gone off. They said, fuck you. If you don't believe in flat earth, we don't even want to talk to you. Meanwhile, the rest of us are going, look, we can have a reasonable conversation about this. I'm kind of in a camp that says, you know, it could be it could be both, frankly, or neither. I'm good with that. But they're not good with that. They stratify, they harden, they create this enormous divide, which then takes all these other issues that have been part and parcel of the truth disclosure movement, and it takes them all and just dumps them into a chasm somewhere where everybody's just going, I don't even want to talk to you anymore. And okay, that is what's happening with the UFO movement as well right now.
Yeah. Well, just to clear this up once and for all, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know whether or not the Earth is flat or round, it's neither. It's a holographic fractal representation of collective consciousness co-creating itself. All right?
Exactly.
It's just
We agree on that. Yep.
I mean, and the reason why I say that is because there's a lot of points that get brought up in the flat earth videos that actually do make a lot of sense. And there's a lot of points that get made up in the round earth things that do make a lot of sense. And a lot of things that get brought up in the this is a digital universe that make a lot of sense. And a lot of things that talk about the fractal universe and the nature of our fractured reality that make a lot of sense. So what that says to me is it's all of them actually combined together. But, you know, that's my theory. I could be wrong. Maybe God isn't what I think it is. Maybe it's not a collection of organisms packed together on a planet and their latent psionic energy developing its own universal consciousness, which actually determines the will of the other organisms and affects them on a subatomic level. You know, maybe that's not the case. I could be wrong.
For good. I think what we really have to bear in mind here is we need to maintain a certain sense of discovery and wonder about anything we research. Some things are hardened facts. Look, it's very clear we have a malevolent governmental dark empire sitting over us that wants to frankly kill us only after they've sucked us dry of all material wealth that we possess. That's pretty demonstrable. That shit needs to be dealt with. But there are some things that fall into a realm of discovery that I'm okay with not having full disclosure now. I really am, because quite frankly, the disclosure I've had so far is quite enough for me. I've seen the shit. I don't need somebody to spoon feed me disclosure. Ditto with the earth. Whatever it is, it's a marvelous construct. I'm willing to behold the wonder of it every day and marvel at its construction. And like Mr. Tesla, basically understand that we live in something that's kind of energetic and kind of beautifully mysterious. I'm good with that.
Well, I think the key here, if we want to keep our heads about us, regardless of the topic, is to approach it with a sense of detachment.
Yep.
Right? If you have emotional detachment to it, if you have emotional detachment, it means that you can then engage the left hemisphere of your brain, which thinks in black and white facts and that kind of thing. But what's problematic, and I came up with a theory last night while we were at this vax meeting, well, it wasn't a vax meeting, but talking about how the cognitive dissonance, all right, and I was like, oh my God, I think I just figured out how, on a physiological level, how cognitive dissonance works. The left side of your brain, the right side of your brain, the emotional part of your brain, the thing that thinks in color, holds a belief that vaccines are safe and effective. Now, you're telling them, and you're trying to appeal to the left side of their brain, that it's not, and here's evidence, and so on and so forth. Now, what this causes is a schism between the two hemispheres of the brain, and what happens then is those two entire hemispheres get shut down. And the energy of the thought process then proceeds down to the lower reptilian brain. So human brains have got three brains. We've got a reptilian brain on the lower cortex that governs our fight, flight mechanisms. It's the same as all the other reptiles in the world. We have a mammalian brain, which is where our emotions and perception and sense of community come from. And we have a primate brain, which does a lot of the higher brow thinking and higher thought functions and is essentially the key to our spiritual evolution with the pineal gland and all of that kind of shit. Now, when you, on the other hand, have those two hemispheres in conflict with somebody who has a very strongly held belief, when they're being presented with facts that completely contradict that belief, both hemispheres shut down and they go into instant fight or flight mode. This is why they get tremendously aggressive instantaneously with almost no pushing. Okay, it's because their brain is literally not working. They're operating in survival mode. This person is trying to kill me. Fuck you! And they bring the term is bringing a bazooka to a knife fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's my two cents on that. I thought it was quite an interesting thought, you know. Again, maybe it's relevant. Maybe it's not. But other than that, we've talked about this this cult and all of that stuff. Is there any other points that are actually really important about this?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of points about it that are very important. If it wasn't important, the folks over at the Jimmy Church Show wouldn't be having a roundtable discussion tonight asking is the UFO community infiltrated? And the answer to that is yes, it is infiltrated, and it's the infiltrators that are making the declaration that the UFO community is infiltrated because they've declared themselves the new front that's going to run the UFO community. In other words, there's a declaration on the table. It was basically made a contact in the desert that says, we're here, we're taking over. And they may not have said it in those words, but the intention has been very clear that this is a leading edge movement right now, where basically the old guard is moving out and the new guard is taking over, and it's going to be very much a high-end media-savvy campaign for a certain type of disclosure, which goes into a lot of the spiritual aspects of this, of the danger of allowing ourselves to just openly believe that because, in theory, higher beings may, in theory, have higher technology, therefore those beings also have higher morality. Well, I've never seen proof of that. I mean, we have higher technology here in the United States, and for the last 70 years, we've used that technology to basically run roughshod over the entire planet. So I don't think we were necessarily more moral as a result of our advanced technology. And then yet we're willing to cede that in theory to some blue feather people who have come along and given us a message that in itself, at its core essence, might be fine, except that they're sort of telling you, you really aren't there yet. You humans haven't evolved. You're still basically murderous, dangerous, savages running roughshod over a planet, which I don't think we need anybody outside of humanity to tell us that.
How is that not religious indoctrination?
You're bad. You're going to hell. You've got original sin.
It's religious. Yeah. And somebody else has to do that. It always has to be an outside party. It always has to be a higher power. It's always got to have these mysterious abilities, and it requires that you basically check your brains at the door and believe that this higher power, higher force, in some way is going to heal you and make you whole, rather than doing what humans really need to do, which is what I call total responsibility. We need to admit as a race, we've screwed up for a long time. We need to admit as individuals, we've screwed up for a long time. But then we've got to do something about it. I might be willing to forgive myself and forgive others, but there's another aspect to this. Shit's got to change on this world, and shit's got to change even within these communities right now. The message of the blue avians is sort of counterbalanced by the amount of greed that's also going on in these communities, because quite frankly, these people are not bashful about charging $10,000 for a speaking engagement and a table full of ancillary marketing items. And the fact that there are all kinds of contracts on the table, and the fact that this is all being subsidized by a company that has, let's just say, a lack of transparency in how they're funded. I'm talking about Gaia TV. And exactly how much money they're able to lose in their franchise in order to advance things like the secret space program Corey Good Adventure. It appears as though they're willing to lose money on this because it's lost money. But other people have made money. And there is a money incentive in the background of all of this.
There's a lot of money in lies, but not a whole lot of money in truth.
No money in truth, as you and I both know. I mean,
jeez. What's wrong with us, Randy? Are we fucking stupid?
No, we're stupid. We're stupid. You just don't have a good enough story, damn it. Because we're, at the end of the day, we're just not willing to sit down and write a good script.
One thing just occurred to me this morning, bro, and I was like thinking about how I'm a narcissist and how a lot of narcissists are good liars and all of that kind of stuff. But why don't I lie all the time? You know, why don't I lie to my audience? Why don't I blow things out of proportion and that kind of thing? Why don't I do it? It's because unlike most narcissists, I got consequences for my actions.
You're not a malignant narcissist.
No. I got consequences through my actions throughout my life that taught me very, very, painful lessons that I've kind of taken to heart. So now if I even think about lying, my heart rate starts, bubbling up and I start getting really stressed out and freaked out and that kind of thing. And the only way that I can live without fear is to live with the truth 100%, with all of the benefits and flaws that come along with that. Apart from, When I'm speaking to a liar. Why, no, officer. I don't have 3 bags of weed in my pocket.
Well, there's a thin line between actual lying and deception. I mean, hey, you play poker, you do deception. Life's kind of a poker game. But you don't lie and you don't manipulate people and you don't fabricate these gigantic tales for the purposes of marketing yourself as a so-called whistleblower truth teller when most of your story has been gleaned from other people who have gone before you, reverse engineered, data mined, and then contoured in such a way that you have a slick marketing package. That's my problem with the whole Corey Good Gaia TV secret space program as it's being marketed right now.
Well, yeah, and again, this goes into the thing. What was I saying last night at the VC? Ah, yes, lying. It's very, very hard to spot lying unless you know what you're looking for. Okay, woman drowned her children one time, okay? She drove her car into a lake and the two kids died. She got out of the car and then she ran to the police station and said, oh, my God, I had an accident. My children are dead. Police officer instantly asked her, did you kill them? And she goes, I would never do anything like that. I'm a good mother. I love my children. Did she say no? She didn't, did she? Right. All right. That's when you know somebody's lying, when you ask them a very direct question and they give you an incredibly indirect answer that goes around and around and around.
That's right.
That's something I learned in talk radio. There's been people on this show that I must say after the show is over, I was just like, that person's a lying psychopath. I hope my audience is discernible, has enough discernment to tell truth from fiction and is also capable of opening up and even listening to people who are full of shit, because even in a desert of lies, one might find a grain of truth. Right. That's the intellectual quicksand that we wade through on a daily basis. Whenever we communicate with other human beings, there is deception. There is scumbaggery. There is bad memories. Even I've said things on this show that aren't true because I like said them. And then I was like, wait a second. Was that right? And then I go back and I go, ah, bloody hell. I forgot it was actually 1986 that they did that, not 1987. What a fucking idiot. You know,
you'll talk to Andrew Bishago. He talks about this a lot, where there's just too many facts supporting too slim a narrative. That's the difference. And everybody has factual gaps in their memory. And I'm sorry, if you've smoked enough weed, if you're over 30, you have a viable deniability for bad memory anyway. Okay, we're human. We don't have perfect memory. But there's a world of difference between that and fabricating an entire whole cloth narrative, you then have to go and stitch all of this Frankensteinian bullshit on to make it work. When I've always said this, the best narratives are kind of broken. There's the gaps there where you go, I don't remember that. I mean, I experienced that. There are things I have memories of, and there are things I have detailed memories of, and then there are things where I just go, you know, I don't know. And searching my mind, I still don't know. It's a broken narrative. That's human. When it gets too perfect, when there's too many details, that's when you need to really start looking at how it's been contoured, how it's been put together.
How it's been scripted.
Scripted, yeah. Right, Jay Widener? Yep.
I mean, I'm a writer, so I know what scripting is. You know, you've got to I mean, we did that just before the show today. We took down a whole bunch of notes. and then we rewrote it as a full Facebook post and everything like that. So you can see how good I am at the writing and the spelling and how you actually keep thoughts congruent and go through the thing. And it's like, what? It took actually quite a bit of effort to narrate and put in a sequential order the things that we naturally come up with on the fly, left, right, center, up, down, and all over the place. This is where all these ideas come from, but they all connect in the center. And that's what good writing is, essentially. It's just taking all the disparate elements and linking them together, like a good Monty Python skit.
There are, you know, I just want to say this too, because we're going to run out of time. There are really good researchers out there in the margins of ufology right now. There are really good people who are bringing evidence forward on shows like this one. People who have put themselves at a certain amount of risk, who have done extraordinary things, who have great stories to tell. They need to be heard. We can't let the air get sucked out of the room by marketing campaigns and glitzy productions. You know, I have a friend, he's been on our show a couple times, Sean Gautreaux, does amazing work. He has a YouTube channel called Industrial Surrealism. Sean has shot amazing footage of what sits over the skies, of what's inside the clouds. He's used very simple tools and photography and treatment. Sean is an artist, and he's put together a compendium of evidence that shows there is shit in the sky that we really need to look at this, because, man, I'm telling you, there's platforms up there, and there's all kinds of wild shit going on, and nobody's talking about Sean Gautreaux's evidence. They want to talk about the blue avians.
Popularity is not necessarily a representation of truth. If anything, it's the direct opposite. It's an inverse relationship. Is it incredibly unpopular and everybody hates you for speaking about it?
Yes.
Yes, it's probably true. Is it incredibly popular and everybody loves you and pats you on the back and provides you with no challenges whatsoever? You're a full of shit cunt. that's the spectrum.
Exactly.
Andy Morgans. Off Planet Radio. I can't, it was not full of shit. Thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, my brother.
All right. And, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for supporting the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Go to that Patreon, please. Give us $1 a month donation and we'll lend you into the, Facebook group, where you will get access to all the new shows and everything like that before they're made public, the brand new video versions as well. And you will get that as a Patreon regardless. It's just if you donate in any other way whatsoever, through the Kiwi Bank or the PayPal, we'll just make sure to have those links available to you through either Patreon or Vinnie's donors group. So thank you very much. See you again sometime.
Freedom Radio.
And I hope people support American Freedom Radio. And I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having American Freedom Radio. Because that's my family. If you love me at all, Jack Blood, support American Freedom Radio. Like, my family has literally disowned me in American Freedom Radio. Danny and Don and those guys, those are my actual family. So please, please support these guys, because they have all the technology, they have all these great things that they're going to do, but obviously they can't do it all by themselves. So not only would I like to see you support them, I'd like to see you retweet them and repost them and really get involved and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, on doing that do-it-yourself promotion, because they're a do-it-yourself radio network, and we just need that so much.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship.
War, be quiet.
Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship.
You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth.
You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You
could fill your prisons with one particular racial group and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio and service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics,
no taboo topics,
no fear of doom,
no fear of doom.
We are
American Freedom Radio,
American Freedom Radio.